just to love you, yeah. It's to see you being free as the wind.
It is 5:01 now. We missed that top of the hour. This is KSKQ 89.5 FM here in Ashland, Oregon. And it is up 5 o'clock Wednesday. It means Beer Radio with Ginger Johnson.
Everybody, and welcome back. This is Ginger Johnson, your host with Beer Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We come to you live from Southern Oregon every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And as per usual, or as is our normal habit, although you never know when you're going to be abnormal, we have another fabulous guest with us today. And today's guest is Josh Brewer. I love the incident of the name coinciding with his profession. Josh, you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime you want to be had, just come on back. Why don't we start, Josh, with telling everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do in the beer community?
I am the head brewer or head of operations at Mother Earth Brewing, which is about a three-year-old, two-and-a-half-year-old brewery in eastern North Carolina in Kinston, North Carolina. And we are a production facility.
Okay.
And we bottle and keg, and we just distribute in North Carolina.
All right. Excellent. Can you self-distribute in North Carolina, Josh?
We can self-distribute in North Carolina, and we did start as self-distribution. My first batch here was, and I just looked it up because I needed to remind myself, but it was September 14th, 2009 was our first batch of beer out of our facility. And then we signed on with our distributor in April of the following year. So we self-distributed up until then, and probably only went maybe an hour and a half away at the very most from our location in Kinston.
Okay, and tell us about, when we're looking at a map of North Carolina, tell us about where Kinston is.
Kinston is about an hour and a half east of Raleigh, or some people know Greenville. We're about 30 minutes south of Greenville. And the other direction, we're about an hour and 15 minutes from the beaches.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, Hatteras and Beaufort and all that is towards the coast, so not too far away to the beaches.
Okay, and do you get opportunity to get to the coast very often? Do you call it the coast there? Because I know being here in Oregon, we're probably about similar distance from the ocean, yet people here, they say, we're going to the coast.
Yeah, well, the coast or the beach, I guess.
Okay.
I probably hear
in a really both. Big way, huh?
Yeah, I probably hear both, 50-50.
Okay.
So, but my wife is a big beach person, and I would rather go to the mountains, but the beach is closer. So Asheville is probably about 4 or 5 hours away from us.
Okay.
And I do like the mountains and whatnot. So we probably only get there once or twice a year, and then the rest of the time we go to the beach, and our daughter likes the beach and the sand and all that. So.
All right. Excellent. Well, very good. So you've got some great beers cranking out at Mother Earth Brewing. Of course, it's Mother Earth Brewing. It's not another name. And tell me a little bit about, now when we talked last week as a warm-up to the show for everybody's information, and you told me something that was very exciting to me, and hopefully it's really exciting to you all, and even more so that it's more exciting to the consumers. You have decided to, and you've started to, can exclusively two specific kinds of beer. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that. Why did you decide to start canning? Because you bottle some of your other beer, and why did you exclusively go with two brands or two styles that you can only get in the cans?
Well, we have just a little lay of the land. We have four staple beers that we brew all the time that see keg and bottle, a Belgian wit, an IPA, a Munich Dunkel, and a Kolsch style. And being, you know, as close as we are to the beach and the boaters and things like that, we decided that we wanted to get a canning line. It had been in the works for a little while. I mean, I think it's been in our heads for a while, just because of, you know, the craft beer can movement and things like that. But you know, our location and being, you know, close to the beach, we thought it'd be a good idea. So it finally came to be. And our two brand new brands are a German style Hefeweizen and an American pale ale.
Excellent. And what did you refresh my memory and tell our listeners what the names of those are specifically?
Second Wind pale ale and Sunny Haze German Hefeweizen.
All right. Excellent.
So when in just a little snippet of kind of how we roll over here of our president of the company, his grade school art teacher does all of the art for our labels. So it's actually, you know, painted on a canvas and then digitally scanned, and then the graphic artist puts the graphics around it. You know, so when we come out with a seasonal beer or a brand new beer, you know, we've been seeing, you know, the beginning stages, and we know this beer, and we've seen it for, you know, the last 2 or 3 or 4 months now, just in the working stages. So, you know, it's not when we come out with a beer, you know, it's just, it's not a corporate logo with a badge underneath it that says IPA type of thing. So there's a lot of thought, and it's, you know, coming up with a name and what that that piece of art is going to look like always takes some time. You know, it's just something that they need to feel, and it needs to feel right before they decide, you know, that's what it's named and that's what the art is going to look like.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I'm you know, constantly, you know, when we're trying to think of a new beer, they are, Trent and Steven, the owners, are barraging me with you know, this name and that name and what it's going to look like, and then, you know, finally the final outcome, you know, comes. You know, it's been a while. There's a, you know, a lot of thought that goes into it,
right.
And you know, it's kind of just that feeling of, yeah, Sunny Hayes, that's a great name, and then, you know, the painting that goes along with it, so that they kind of all fit and everything's color schemed and everything. So
excellent. Right on. So I really like your Mother Earth Brewing logo, the sunshine echoing in the picture of the profile of the face and the radiating what looks like hair and sun waves at the same time. That's really a beautiful graphic.
Yeah, there was a firm that put a lot of things together for us that's out of Raleigh.
Okay.
And, you know, that, again, you know, that they put a lot of images in front of us, and it was honed into that image. That image was very, very rough in the beginning stages, and then turned out to the way it is now. So that's our corporate logo. That's on everything, and then you have, you know, the logos, you know, per style of beer. So, but it's fun. I mean, the artwork is, you know, it's kind of makes us, you know, stand out, you know, a little bit from, you know, some of the other guys, and it's, you know, it's just kind of how we want to do things. And you know, we started when we were bottling, we had all red caps.
Okay.
But all of our labels are all color coded.
Right.
So let's just say, like, Sisters of the Moon IPA, the main theme of that is red. The Dark Cloud Munich Dunkel is purple. So probably after about 6 or 8 months, we decided to go to color-coded caps.
Okay.
So now the caps are associated with that color that's in the label. So
excellent.
We started out with all red, and now obviously we've kept the red because IPA is red, but then we bought all these other colors. So
sure.
Bartenders really love us because then they can get a cooler and then they can pick the associated color.
Right, it's kind of like the old Garanimal. Do you remember the Garanimal labels, Josh? How they mixed and matched with the colors?
I know what you're talking about, but I'm not quite sure I've paid attention to
that's
that.
That's all right. No, I noticed that on your website also. Your design is really clean and clear, and I can tell you from doing what I do with Women Enjoying Beer, that is a really smart choice, besides a really nicely designed choice, because it makes it easy for the consumer, and your color coding is a stroke of simple brilliance. Just like you said, the bartenders love it. It's an easy at-a-glance. They already kind of know what to look for an image. They don't have to read anything. Makes it easy to grab yet another great Mother Earth Brewing beer. So that's cool.
It definitely helps when you're at the end of the festival and they just come to you and say, give me the green one. They end up forgetting the name and give me the red one and the purple one. So that does happen. I mean, but visually, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, tap design and things like that, you always, you know, try to keep in the back of your mind, you know, when you, or at least this is what I do, you know, when I walk into the bar, what do I see as a tap? You know, what stands out to me? You know, what does the packaging look like?
Right.
You know, so when you're, you know, I mean, some people do that. I mean, some people you know, will go to the beer aisle at the grocery store or wherever they are in a package store and just say, you know what, I've never had this.
Yep.
And it might be next to something else, but look at the packaging on this.
Oh, yeah.
So I usually say that and, you know, thank God that the beer's halfway decent on the inside and it's still selling.
So. Oh, stop being modest. It's great beer. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that I didn't plan on us talking about branding, but, you know, what the heck? That's the great thing about live radio. This is interesting. People wonder, both the businesses and the consumers wonder, you know, you hear branding these days, and it is really important. And like you said, I think that's a really common scenario you bring up. Good point, Josh. If you go to a package store and you're looking to buy off-sale beer, I already know I like this brand and I'm already attracted to their labels because I'm familiar with it because it's, you know, it's nice looking, or I like the color yellow or whatever it is. And then something next to it could inadvertently get selected for a completely random reason. And so the consistency of your labeling is a really important thing. It's, you know, there's a lot of great brands out there, so to speak, and I should say there's a lot of great high-quality brands of beer out there, and you're in great company. At the same time, I'm always mystified with some of the choices of the designs and the divergence from the core of what the image is that the consumer is looking for. So hats off to you for keeping with that solid, you know, that single image of that Mother Earth emblem, and then just varying it so it's still very recognizable to the consumer. That will serve you. Obviously, hopefully it's seemed like it served you well, but I'm thinking that it'll keep serving you well if you keep doing it.
I hope so, and I completely agree. That just makes me think of a number of things, but you know, we have these tried and true styles, and we have these tried and true ways of brewing beer, and we have seen a shift in that. Let's just say, you know, we'll take, you know, barrel aging and sour,
sure,
and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think there's a reason why Sierra Nevada has, you know, is who they are to this day, because they've made these easy, palatable, mainstream now, but not back then.
Sure, crowd pleasers. One word, right. I call them.
Right. So they have these beers. I mean, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I can't even keep a count on how much I've had of that beer, because I'm a big pale ale fan. It's just always like the standby. It's like,
yes,
if nothing else on, I'm at a place, I'll definitely have that.
Right.
But we're, you know, the shift that I see is, or you know, when a startup comes,
mm-hmm,
and they try to just kind of mess with all of that.
Mm.
You know? I mean, it's I don't know. Sometimes I just get frustrated by it a little bit,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, they're trying to, you know, have the imperial, you know, barrel aged with, you know, this, you know, flour and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have like any normal staples.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, I think I think that's okay from like a seasonal experimentation standpoint, but it's like, if you want to have a sustainable,
right,
you know, money making eventually brewery,
mm-hmm,
you have to have like these mainstream staples that are palatable, that are easy to drink and are easily accessible, you know, to the consumer.
Right. Right.
You know,
I would,
so from a logo standpoint and an image standpoint, to have consistency there, and then to have these beers that are out there that are, you know, in your rendition or to slightly per style, I think you definitely need those, and then you can go, you know, out in left field a number of times a year, I think.
Right, because then people can still come in to infield, as it were, with that little metaphor, and you know, they're going to go out and try something, but one of the reasons people try something is that they already like the brand, and mm-hmm, so they're feeling safe, they're feeling comfortable, they're going to go ahead and try it, and may even like it, and may even repeat that, yet they still have that home base to go back to. That's a good...
Absolutely.
Good thought. Yeah. Yeah. Sierra Nevada is, I think, either Sierra Nevada, I think they were one of my very first craft beers. I remember my very first one. Do you remember your very first craft beer, Josh?
I think it was probably Sam Adams.
Okay.
Would be my guess. It's right. Either Sam Adams Boston Lager, mm-hmm, or Sierra Nevada Pale.
Okay. Very good. Do you remember the experience where you were? Is that shareable information?
I don't, put it this way, I don't remember what I did yesterday.
Good enough. So we've gone way beyond. All right.
I think there's certain tidbits, but unfortunately, I think I remember more of my home brewing than probably my first craft beer that I had. So,
sure. And what was?
In which probably was really close to either being homebrew first. In probably the same year of having some sort of craft beer. So,
okay.
96, 97, I started home brewing.
All right.
A friend of mine got a kit for Christmas, and we brewed a batch of beer.
if you'd call it that.
Well, I think it probably would have been fine, but you know, for all you home brewers out there, and or brewers, I'm sure started as home brewers, but we looked in our glass carboy and all this garbage was turning around and everything. We just thought that didn't look good, so we just dumped it all in the backyard. And obviously it was fermenting and turning and doing what it was supposed to do, but we didn't think that was right just because, we didn't have a large skill set to be brewing because it was our first batch. But so after that, he didn't want to do it anymore, and I took the kit from him, and then that's kind of where it all started. And, if I could have my mom on the line talking about what I did to her kitchen and her basement and everything else, that would be a whole nother show. But.
You just gave me another guest idea. Thanks.
So I guess professionally for about 7 or 8 years now, I've been professionally doing it.
Awesome.
And, I am still, doing a little bit of home brewing on the side, but not much at all. We have a one-barrel pilot system that we have here. So I get to mess around a lot. So that's kind of where 100% we're pale. The Second Wind Pale Ale came from.
Okay.
That was three test pilot batches, and then we started doing full production on that. And actually, probably the Sunny Haze Hefeweizen as well was started on that. I mean, those are two, styles that I really like and the owners really like.
Okay.
So, a lot of the questions that we get is, how do you decide on these beers? So I mean, if you look at at our portfolio and remember what I said before of having Dark Cloud, Munich Dunkel, a German dark lager, and having a Belgian wit and an IPA and a German style Kolsch, well, these are either styles that we really like. Well, all of them are, we really like them, but
mm-hmm.
Are they in the marketplace?
Sure.
Or are they not, or are they, infrequent? So, you're pretty hard-pressed to find a Munich Dunkel, in the United States, let alone you probably couldn't find one in North Carolina.
Hmm.
And that's just something that, we do, as one of our main core brands. And it's something that I like and that I've done in the past with one of my older jobs before I came to Mother Earth, and I really liked it as a seasonal. And, I think... when I got hired for this job, I had some beer from my old job that I brought in growlers, and Stephen and Trent tell me to this day that my Munich Dunkel was what got me my job.
Excellent. That's awesome. You are listening to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host, also the founder and operator of Women Enjoying Beer. You can find us at womenenjoyingbeer.com. You can tweet along with us at Women Enjoy Beer, and you can Facebook us as well, Women Enjoying Beer. If you got questions, suggestions, you want to tell us how great our guests are, like Josh Brewer today from Mother Earth Brewing, shoot me an email, ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. Josh, why don't you tell us where we can find you online so people, when they are either in North Carolina or traveling to, or just have their beer ears up, where they can find you and your great beer?
Let's see. www.motherearthbrewing.com. And then we are on Facebook under Mother Earth Brewing, and at Josh Brewer is my Twitter handle, and then I'm also under Josh Brewer. But all our beers are listed on our website, and then all our company profile and who we are and what we do and all, and then things like that in our beer lineup. So and food pairings and all that, and we have a large blog that we handle. We probably have blog entries maybe every other week or something like that. So there's a wealth of information on our website for sure. So
awesome. Excellent. Cool. We've got a couple minutes before we're going to break for a song and catch our breath and then come back to more Beer Radio. Before we get to that, though, Josh, tell us how many people are involved at Mother Earth Brewing. How many people are there making it all happen? And if you got any festivals planned here for the summer?
Yeah, festivals. We always have plenty of festivals to go to. First of all, it's two owners, Trent and Steven, and then me in line. I have a this is my shout out to my employees, because obviously I can't just solely run everything on my own. And they know I'd love to, but I still couldn't handle it, and then my wife would leave me. So. Greg Papp is my immediate brewer, and we have two new employees. That's Joe Cavanaugh, our new cellarman from Wisconsin. He's been on a few weeks.
Excellent.
And then now that we have our canning line, we hired a production line manager, Dan Feldman. He is coming all the way from Victoria Island in Canada.
Wow.
He drove all the way cross country a number of weeks ago. We have Audra, which is our CFO, which you had some tweets earlier.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm.
And we have our tap room manager, which is Travis Quinn, and he does sales in some media deliveries for us in the surrounding counties. And again, also runs our tap room that is open a few days a week that is connected to the brewery. And then we also have brewery tours on the first and third Saturday of every month. So, but again, I mean, I couldn't do it without everybody else. And they've been doing a great job. And we did about 24 or 2,500 barrels our very first year in production. And we're aiming for, for 5,000. So we just had a meeting today, which we don't have a lot of meetings, and since we figured we'd hired on a couple more people, that we probably needed to start having some monthly meetings at least. And that was just kind of one of our goals that we set a number of months ago, it's a lofty goal, but I think we can get it, and we probably need it as from a business standpoint. But again, that puts us pretty insane on the schedule for the rest of the year to pump out all this beer. But North Carolina is pretty thirsty, so that really, really helps.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
That really helps. I mean, we brew as fast as we can, and we try to keep up to all of them. So
excellent. So it's all their fault, really.
Yeah, pretty much. I got that from somebody, a guy that I know from Chicago that writes a blog and that I send beer to and things like that. And, you know, he just asked me how things were going. I just said, you know, completely insane. And the funny thing that he said that, you know, I don't crack up all the time, but he said, well, you know, that's completely and totally your own fault for
Absolutely.
Brewing really good beer and that's and right. the consumer drinks yeah. it all the time. So he's right. But
it's a good thing to be looking at, I suppose. So excellent. Well, this is Beer Radio. You were listening to us coming to you live from Ashland, Oregon on KSKQ 89.5 FM. We just went to a different call station number, so if you are listening on your radio, take note. We are now 89.5. You could always stream us, probably the best way to reach us and listen to us, rather. And we are also archived, so if you want to listen to this show again with our great guest Josh Brewer or any of the other shows we've had since we launched the show in February, you can go to kskq.org and access those under Beer Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes after a song, so hang on, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
In the night. present your case. Yes, I know. You keep telling me that you love.
Everybody, welcome back to Beer Radio. This is Ginger Johnson, your host, coming to you live from Southern Oregon. We are pleased to be on the air at KSKQ 89.5 FM, your community-supported radio. Keep in mind when you are out and enjoying radio of any sort that your support is not only important but highly appreciated, so keep us in mind. You can catch Beer Radio every Wednesday. Like I said, we record live from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you can stream us online at kskq.org. It's a great way to access us. And then we are also archived, so dig around and find out where we're at. You can reach me if you have suggestions, questions, comments. You love us. Feel like my friend Craig McFeeters of the new Bricktown Brewing says, feel free to love it or hate it, but tell me about it one way or the other. And you can send me an email, ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. We're on Twitter at Women Enjoy Beer. We're on Facebook, of course, at Women Enjoying Beer, and we got all kinds of great ways to reach out to each other. Our terrific guest today is Josh Brewer. Josh, you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Josh is coming to us from Kinston, North Carolina. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, Kinston. And he is the head brewer at Mother Earth Brewing in Kinston, about a little over an hour in from the lovely coast there in North Carolina. So one question, well, before we ask that next question, Josh, tell us again, tell our listeners where they can find out more about Mother Earth Brewing online.
MotherEarthBrewing.com is our full website address, and all of our beer info, and one of the biggest things is we have our database of all our accounts in North Carolina, so if anybody's, you know, traveling to the eastern North Carolina to go to the coast, or you know, Cape Hatteras or Cape Lookout or any the Outer Banks or the mountains and everywhere in between. we have all our accounts that are all mappable and have all the addresses and things like that, and are basically under each town is where all our locations are and things like that. So, which is our under our beer finder, and is we have again about 2.5 years old, and we have roughly, and it is seasonal here a little bit. But in the season, in the height of the season that we're in now, we probably have about 800 or 900 accounts throughout
wow.
all of North Carolina.
That's so fabulous.
It's a big list to go through. So I would suggest let's just say you're in Asheville, that you just go to Asheville and look at that, and it'll give you all our locations in Asheville. So.
Excellent. Well, good. We're glad that business is good. You're on track to be putting out about 5,000 barrels this year, correct?
Yes, that is our goal this year.
All right. Do you have time scheduled in there for sleep?
A little bit.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you got into brewing. It's a pretty standard question. It seems like people are fascinated with the beer industry in general, and they're definitely interested. You know, you've got a little bit of a community rock star status when you're a brewer. And all the avenues that people take to get into brewing seem to be, while there are some similarities, they seem to be quite varied. Why don't you share with us how you got into brewing and how that might be quite different, actually, because you've already shared some of that with me, than some other people's choices on getting there?
Well, I kind of talked about, you know, getting started in home brewing in 96, 97.
Right.
I've worked for a large percentage of my life. I wasn't really good at school. I didn't excel at school, but the portions of school that I did excel at were, you know, woods and auto and photography and things that I could do with my hands.
Sure.
And building things and taking them apart. You know, again, if I could now have my dad here, he'd tell me about, you know, all the fans that I would disassemble as a kid and put together when I was, you know, a small boy.
Did they work again?
And they did.
Excellent.
For the most part. But, you know, my dad was a carpenter for a trade his whole life, so I think I definitely have a lot of bits and pieces of him and me. But that was just something that I excelled at, something hands-on and something very visual.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of things that I was getting from books, I'm more of like the short article magazine guy, more
sure.
than putting my nose in a 300-page book.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go the school route, so I worked for corporate Sears, what was the Sears Tower in downtown Chicago, moved out to a sprawling campus in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, and on my way home was a brew pub that was Milrose Brewing Company, and I used to bring my home brew and bug the crap out of the head brewer there until he gave me a job, and that was kind of my very first brewing job. So, you know, cleaning kegs, and I used to clean a couple of tanks here and there, but I never brewed there. But that was kind of the start of everything.
All right.
And that's kind of, you know, I would say about 3 or 4 years before that is when I started home brewing. So, you know, I didn't go the route of, you know, UC Davis or Siebel or anything like that. And this was just the route I took was basically just, you know, hands-on training and getting paid at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't, you know, have, you know, a bunch of money at the time to put myself through Siebel or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the route, you know, that I went. And, you know, I've always been, you know, curious on, you know, who went that route and what other routes, you know, I mean, that maybe, you know, the next GABF or the craft beer conference, maybe that's more questions I should ask, because I'm just curious how people end up getting into the field. I think from the most part, I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, started home brewing and their love for, you know, craft brewed beer kind of started that way. But, you know, that's not for everybody. I mean, I get a lot of resumes from people that, you know, just have schooling backgrounds and don't have any formal training in the field. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know there's people that go that route. So, but I did just get a text from my wife a little while ago, and she said my answers were too long. So,
Alexi, thank you,
Alexa,
for listening. Thank you, dear.
Okay. Yeah. But
I'll nod my head and smile to that one too. But I think you're doing great. And no offense to Alexi, but you're doing great. So keep rambling.
So now I'm here. So my wife and I started a brew pub in Beaufort, South Carolina, a few years back, and didn't go as planned. So we had to let it go. But I guess beside the getting hired for the Munich Dunkel that I brought, which was mm-hmm. from my brew pub that was called Brewers, and was a pretty green build from the ground up. We built that facility, and it was a brew pub. And I guess my take on that is I feel like if I didn't have, you know, a staff of, you know, 20 or 20 so people, and I was brewing, but I was also, you know, managing mm-hmm. The wait staff and, you know, some of the kitchen and things like that, and to build a brewery from the ground up, I just feel, you know, from that standpoint, I probably wouldn't have the job that I have.
Sure.
You know, beside the, you know, having, you know, Munich Dunkel and pale ale, bringing in a growler, I know there was other applicants that brought beer as well, but mm-hmm. you know, I think it's a different person to be able to come on board with a place that's already established, and then now you're a brewer mm-hmm. compared to when I came in, Stephen and Trent bought a building and said, okay, you buy it, you know, you get everything, where's the equipment going to go, how big should it be, where's the bottling line going to be, what's the flow going to be like, you know, meet with the architects and, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So, you know, it was my baby just as much as it was their
sure.
baby.
Did you enjoy that part of it?
Oh, my God, yeah.
All right. What did you have? I don't think I've asked you this question in our conversations before, but did you have an epiphanous moment at any point, Josh, on literally there was something that registered in your brain that said, you know what, I think I want to brew professionally, or I know I want to brew, or I want to make this stuff, or whatever that epiphany was, whether it was a huge bolt of lightning or it was kind of a slow creep realization?
I think it was probably a slow creep from home brewing.
Okay.
I think in a roundabout way, I have a lot of patience for some things and zero tolerance for others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a lot of patience for brewing and being meticulous about things. And the more and more I got into home brewing, and more you have to be patient and mm-hmm. meticulous about cleaning and sanitizing and having
right.
that end product,
mm-hmm.
that made me go deeper and deeper.
Okay.
So, you know, brewing a batch and then having to wait, you know, for it to ferment out, and, you know, basically treating it like it's your, you know, newborn, but
right.
every batch is like that.
Right. Exercise and patience.
Yeah, so I think it was that just kept on, you know, drawing me, you know, more and more in, and I can't really see, you know, doing anything else when, you know, it definitely have the opposite opposite view of my jobs of working at corporate Sears
mm-hmm.
To this job of, you know, I remember, and hopefully none of my bosses are listening, but, you know, just, you know, being in cold suburbs of Chicago and not wanting to get up in the morning mm-hmm. and go to work for a job that I didn't 100% love and that wasn't me,
mm-hmm.
that I've never, ever had that feeling, even to this day, about going to any job that had to do with, you know, me being a brewer.
Excellent.
Ever. I mean, I've been really, really sick, and it's just like, well, you suck it up and you go to work, you know, but I've had other jobs where it's just like, no, you just call in. I mean, if you don't feel good, get it.
As long as it's not contagious, right?
Right.
Right. Excellent. Very cool. You're listening to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host, also the ringleader of Women Enjoying Beer. We're a beer education company. We work with the consumers and the industry. And our special guest today is Josh Brewer, aptly named. How synergistic is that? That's fabulous. He is the head brewer at Mother Earth Brewing. You can find them at MotherEarthBrewing.com. You can follow them on Twitter. You can follow Josh in specific at Josh Brewer, or at Josh Brewer, I should say. And then I believe you're also Mother Earth Beer or Brew. Forgive
Brew.
Me.
Mother, Brew. At Mother Earth Brew. Yeah.
At Mother Earth Brew on Twitter. and you can follow them along. They got a great lineup of beers when you get to North Carolina, not the if, when you get to North Carolina next. Mm-hmm. Please make sure and look it up. Josh was telling us that you can find their beer in over 800 places, 800 taps plus in North Carolina, and only in North Carolina. Is that right, Josh?
That is right.
Okay.
Unless somebody
smuggles
it, some kegs and takes them over the border,
right,
which we just heard of.
Right, but we don't talk about that. So, so you can find their great fresh beer. And, you know, it's the middle of summer right now, and beer is truly year-round. There are so many fabulous beers. At the same time, the happy coincidence, however coincidental or non-coincidental it was, with the fact that you are now brewing two great canned craft beers in your Summer Haze and your, remind me, that what was the other one called again?
The Second Wind and the Sunny Haze.
There we go. And those can go right to the beach because they're in cans and not in bottles. And so there's no reason your cooler shouldn't have some Mother Earth in it. The mother will thank you. So let's talk a little bit about the sustainability efforts at Mother Earth Brewing, Josh. A lot of businesses everywhere are jumping on, so to speak, the bandwagon. At the same time, it's good because it's becoming extremely necessary. It's too bad we didn't think about this 100 years ago. But here we are today, so what can we do about it today? So what is Mother Earth doing about sustainability to help both promote that and just to be a smarter business community member?
Well, I guess during our demo phase, we really didn't have that many windows in our building, and we put a large amount of windows in, so yeah, obviously we do have lighting in our main brew house, but we barely need to really turn it on for the amount of windows that we brought on. We also have a 4.6 kilowatt solar system, so we have about 70 solar panels that we do not bank any of the power here, but we sell it back to North Carolina Power. So
sure.
We're kind of like a mini solar energy field for them.
How much of those kilowatts, how much of that do you actually use yourself, Josh?
What'd you guess? We don't use any of it.
Oh, you don't?
It just gets sold right back to North Carolina Power, and then they credit us.
Okay.
So we're like a small, we're basically just a small solar plant to them.
Okay, excellent. Okay, keep going.
And they had, you know, they have a great credit program, incentives basically when you buy solar, so when we, purchased it, they also were a big, part of that, credit, coming back for the purchase of the solar system.
I love that when people tell me that, yeah, this is our solar system. Wow.
We have a corporate conference room and then, corporate offices on our second floor of our building. In all the walls is blue jean insulation, and then in the ceilings is soy-based spray foam.
Okay.
When we did all that demo, we saved all our bricks and all our steel, so when we had to either add on or fill in a hole somewhere, we still had all that super old brick that we saved that we kind of kept off-site. To use back, so it's not like we have holes plugged up with this brand new brick that just doesn't fit type of thing, and then also, we didn't have to purchase it. So
sure.
We have probably one of the first walk-in coolers that is chilled by our glycol system that cools our tanks in our brewery.
Interesting.
So instead of buying two condensing units and the copper and the the Freon and everything,
right,
we actually added a pump to our glycol chiller, and glycol runs through our coils inside our walk-in cooler, and that cools that as well. So
that's
that was
really innovative.
Yeah, that was a pretty neat thing to do, and I haven't really heard of much of anybody else doing that, but our new project that we're doing right now is we have some we have a lot of our roofs piping into cisterns.
Okay, excellent.
So we just built our canning room that was an existing building that was next to our brewery, but we didn't own it yet, and we just acquired that and turned that into our canning line room. And then above it, half of the building's a second story that we have more kind of cubicle land and some more offices in. And then half of that's a rooftop deck, so we have a lot of plantings out there.
Mm,
we have
nice.
Some cisterns up there, but the biggest project is we have a 3,000-gallon cistern that two of our large roofs dump into a 3,000-gallon cistern,
mm-hmm.
and that will have an internal pump, and then that will be distributed to a lot of our plantings, and we have some grass area and some hops growing. We have about 15 or 16 rhizomes that are producing hops that are on the out, you know, just basically outside the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll basically be, via this pump, will be distributed on a timer that just waters everything from the cistern.
All right. What kind of hops are you growing?
A lot of Cascade, which seem to do okay. really well here.
All right.
One of Steven, one of the owners, he has a lot. When I first came here, I planted hops immediately on, like, 30-foot trellises out at his farm. And those have been producing enough hops where I'm filling a lot of firkins come picking season. So
cool.
we do get a lot of requests for firkins and things like that throughout the state. So I do produce a lot of firkins that have homegrown hops from the brewery and only 10 miles from the brewery as well. So.
Excellent. Why don't you tell people what a firkin is? Because that's a good beer word.
A firkin is a 10-gallon measurement of what we call a cask condition beer. So the firkin's actually the keg that you're drawing beer from, which is semi still alive. And undercarbonated and slightly warm, and goes through a traditional English hand pull beer mm-hmm. engine. And one of my first assistant brewer jobs, we had a hand pull beer engine at the bar, and it hadn't been used for quite some time, and it would just kill me to see it sit
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of I started kind of that program back up, and wherever I've gone, I've always made sure that I've always had some sort of cask condition beer. So, so when we do tours on the first and third Saturday of the month, that's when we have our cask condition beer on. It's usually some sort of IPA with hops or juniper berries or something like that, whatever I can dream up. So,
excellent. That sounds yummy. It's about getting to be dinner time here, so. That's wetting my whistle for what's coming up next.
Dinner time and bedtime for me.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. Because you're on Central Time? No, Eastern Time.
Eastern, yeah.
Eastern Time. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. We've got just a couple more minutes. You're listening to Beer Radio at 89.5 FM on KSKQ. And I am Ginger Johnson, your host. We have the very enlightening Josh Brewer, the head brewer at Mother Earth Brewing, in North Carolina, and we're really appreciative always of all our guests. Josh, let's talk a little bit about some of the people that we might know. Let's play the little, you know, oh, do you know this person? Do you know this person? Because the industry is really very collegial and quite supportive and helpful for each other. So off the air during our song, Josh asked me if I knew Matt Van Wyck, and Matt is the brewer at, why don't you go ahead and share where Matt is now, Josh?
He's at Oakshire in Eugene.
Right on. Excellent.
And we, you know, connect whenever I'm at the Great American Beer Festival or the
CBC
Craft Brewers Conference, the
right.
CBC to us. And but he's one of his jobs was at Flossmoor in Flossmoor, Illinois. And I don't know. I mean, that was only maybe 2 or 3 hours from where I lived. And I got to go to his brew pub a number of mm-hmm. times that he brewed at. And He makes outstanding beer. I've had a couple of Oakshire beers at the CBC or the GABF, but not a lot. But I just figured I'd, you know, we'd touch base on some breweries in Oregon, since that's where you're at. And and very early on, you know, talking about kind of Sierra Nevada and things like that, that one of my favorite breweries is Deschutes and Bend. And obviously we've seen them completely, you know, blow up in the last, you know, 10 years to where they are now. And then Portland, I went there quite a long time ago, and Bridgeport was I think one of the places that just kind of stood out to me just on its location. I just thought it was, you know, really cool. It was on a side street, and the whole front of it was, you know, covered in ivy and things like that, and it just kind of had, you know, it screamed that, that whole beer and brew pub, you know, type scene. And I hadn't had a lot of cask beers at that point, and I remember having a couple of cask beers there that really stood out to me.
Do you know Carl Ockard, the former?
Nope, I don't
know. Because he's with the MBAA now. Carl's a great guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I run. He's their technical director. He replaced, who is it, Ray Klimovitz. So, yeah, Carl's a good guy. We've been going back and forth. The World Brewing Congress is going to be in Portland next year. That happens every 4 years. Have you been to one of those?
I have not been to one of those.
Well, then you just need to get up to Oregon anyway, don't you?
I do.
Indeed, we'd love to have you come up. So, at North Carolina, I also think of Duck Rabbit. Paul is in North Carolina, is he not?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Paul's a great man.
Yes,
he's done
an
awesome job for Eastern North Carolina, and is in a number of states, and I really don't know how he does it. There's probably, you know, not a month that goes by, and I just try to figure out how he's in so much, you know, so many number of states that surround us, and you know, the quality that he pumps out, and the breweries, you know, the brewers that he has. I mean, he's not working on like a, you know, what you would think a staff of, you know, 10 or 15 people over there. He's only, you know, a staff of, you know, four or five and him. So he's a good guy.
He's another great guy. You got some great colleagues there. How many breweries are in North Carolina right now?
Oh, geez.
What would you, more than 50?
No, I think between breweries and brew pubs, I think we have like, and I'll probably get shot later, but I'd say it's like 16, 17, or 18, somewhere around there in the upper teens.
Excellent.
And a lot of those being in the Asheville area. And a number of those being in Raleigh. And things like that. But, I mean, there's, you know, they're popping up all over. There's a couple of new breweries in Charlotte and things like that. You know, Asheville's been named the Beer City for the last two or three years as well. So, and believe it or not, we've been beating Portland, and I don't know how that happened.
I know. I think that's an interesting little dynamic to watch. And, you know, in the end, who really cares? It's just great beer wherever you can get it.
Totally agree.
So, you know,
you know, the polls are the polls.